Right now on VFN TV, we're going to take a look back at 9/11, 2001, remembering what took place 16 years ago with the president and the first lady. We're going to go right to the White House, and then we're going to follow up with a lighter note with a young boy, 10 years old, named Frank, who asked the president if he could cut the grass at the White House, and we're going to end up talking about DACA. What's happening with all these young children who are now adults that were brought here illegally by their parents? We're going to get a perspective from a senator, Senator Rand Paul, as he brings possibly a good idea for us to work it out. Right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
He said the seat of evil is going to come down, and the seat of the righteous is going to rise. Does it look like Tomahawk missiles in Syria? Does it look like Moab bombs in Afghanistan? Does it look like the carrier group run off the coast of North Korea? Of course, a lot of people who liked the status quo and people who were for aborting children, for funding Planned Parenthood, for befriending the enemies of Israel, they're upset right now. But the people that are for God, for Israel, for the country, for the Constitution, for Supreme Court justice that actually loves the Constitution and honors it, they're happy and for God.
They will shout, impeach, impeach, they say, but nay.
But we know that families and churches, not government officials, know best how to create a strong and loving community.
Saudi Arabia has always been keen to play its role in the region and in partnership with the U.S., so I think we are more than ready to cooperate with the United States on countering ISIS.
America is back again.
Mr. President, I appreciate the fact that you went to the Western Wall, and you're the first acting president who's done that. The people of Israel applaud you for it.
Israelis have experienced firsthand the hatred and terror of radical violence. Israelis are murdered by terrorists wielding knives and bombs. Hamas and Hezbollah launch rockets into Israeli communities where schoolchildren have to be trained to hear the sirens and to run to the bomb shelters with fear, but with speed, not with Donald J. Trump.
God sent me here as a prophet to say to you, God is about to give wealth transfer in these last days. And you need to believe it.
This is the place of defense, for this will be known as when the morning turned in America. I say to you, this will be the day that you bring the sun back to rising in this land. I say to you, I will surround this land, beginning here in the Gulf. I will surround this land, and I will build a new wall of defense starting this night, saith the Lord.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I am Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Well, we're remembering with the president today, September the 11th, 2001, 16 years ago, when America was attacked by terrorists, when they came and flew planes into our Twin Towers in New York and into the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. And if it wasn't for the heroes that were on the other aircraft, that actually would have went to the White House. Let's go to the White House now with the First Lady and President Donald Trump remembering 9/11. So touching and honoring and humbling themselves before God, just saying, Lord, protect our country, and then honoring our country. Well, listen, we get back from this break. We're going to join the president as he gives a speech from the Pentagon. Do you remember what happened 16 years ago? A plane flew into the Pentagon by a terrorist, killing our citizens that were on the plane, but also some of our military who's been serving our country faithfully and wounding some. As a matter of fact, we're going to even have one particular man that was there that rescued quite a few folks there in that particular time 16 years ago, remembering 9/11. Join us after the break. We're going to go right to seeing the president give the speech at the Pentagon.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
17 years ago, I walked onto that mall with the first call DC. I'll never forget the thousands of kids that were there 6 o'clock in the morning. Now, 17 years later, I almost feel it's an unfolding fulfillment of what we dreamed about then.
Never before has there ever been 50 tents on the National Mall with hundreds of musicians.
When David became king, a procession of all the tribes gathered. How many thousands?
The first thing that he did was bring the Ark of the Presence of God into the city, and he put it in a tent for 30 years. Imagine if in Washington, D.C., there was a tent city for 3 days where the song and the sound of the Lord filled our nation, and it went viral.
This has never been done before in American history. What's God had his name? But this is day and night.
This is everybody bringing their song, everybody bringing their prayer, everybody coming together in one heart to declare it's a new day. It's time to awaken the dawn.
It's time for the procession of God into this nation.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We are focusing on 9/11. Remember, September the 11th, 2001, when America was under attack. It was just suddenly, you know, we were, you know, doing what we were doing in our businesses and our churches and our lives and family. And then suddenly, normal aircraft that you see fly every single day was taken over by somebody who plotted to be able to take over those pilots, and they flew these aircraft into the Twin Towers, the real tall 10, 12 towers. when you looked at the Twin Towers and looked up, you felt like they were going to fall on you. They were so tall, right?
Been there, yeah. You could stand up at the, be at the very top of them and see and feel the buildings actually sway.
Yeah.
And just to imagine, and you didn't have to imagine, but you can see those towers coming down. Absolutely horrific.
Never would have imagined they would have
fallen. No, my dad worked in those Twin Towers. Right. I've been to those Twin Towers.
Right.
And I remember that morning when it happened, my dad was actually crying.
Yeah.
Because he could have been there.
Thousands of lives.
And he had friends that actually passed away.
Right.
That day. It's just horrific.
We've got to remember, because every day we have, you know, millions of people flying every day. And we've got to just be mindful that it's God that keeps our country safe.
Oh, yeah.
And now we have a president who's honoring God, and we have pastors who are gathering around at the White House praying for our country, fasting and praying. We have the big event we just talked about in the break about the worship taking place in October with 50 states worshiping in 50 different tents.
The dawn.
The dawn's taking place. And God, I mean, this is a shift in our nation. And so we want to remember 9/11 with the president. We're going to go right to the president. We want to hear his speech at the Pentagon, where the Pentagon was struck 16 years ago by an aircraft that was taken over by terrorists who came over on a visa, I believe, something of that nature. And that's why you have our president so apt to taking care of our borders and making sure we know vetting people who comes in, because it could have been one of these people.
It's his biggest responsibility as a president is to defend us, to protect us, and make sure that America remains the original intent.
Let's join the president right now at the Pentagon as he's giving a speech remembering 9/11.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank you, Secretary Mattis, General Dunford, members of the cabinet, members of the armed forces, first responders, and most importantly, to the families and to the survivors. It's an honor to join you on this very, very solemn location. This is an occasion that is extraordinary, and it'll always be extraordinary. Before we begin, I'd like to send our nation's prayers to everyone in the path of Hurricanes Irma and to everyone suffering through the devastation of Hurricane Harvey. These are storms of catastrophic severity, and we're marshaling the full resources of the federal government to help our fellow Americans in Florida, Alabama, Georgia, Texas, Louisiana, Tennessee, and all of those wonderful places and states in harm's way. When Americans are in need, Americans pull together, and we are one country. And when we face hardship, we emerge closer, stronger, and more determined than ever. We're gathered here today to remember a morning that started very much like this one. Parents dropped off their children at school. Travelers stood in line at airports and getting ready to board flights. Here at the Pentagon and at offices all across the country, people began their early meetings. Then our whole world changed. America was under attack, first at the World Trade Center, then here at the Pentagon, and then in Pennsylvania. The horror and anguish of that dark day were seared into our national memory forever. It was the worst attack on our country since Pearl Harbor, and even worse because this was an attack on civilians, innocent men, women, and children, whose lives were taken so needlessly. For the families with us on this anniversary, we know that not a single day goes by when you don't think about the loved one stolen from your life. Today, our entire nation grieves with you and with every family of those 2,977 innocent souls who were murdered by terrorists 16 years ago. Each family here today represents a son or daughter, a sister or brother, a mother or father who was taken from you on that terrible, terrible day. But no force on earth can ever take away your memories, diminish your love, or break your will to endure and carry on and go forward. Though we can never erase your pain or bring back those you lost, we can honor their sacrifice by pledging our resolve to do whatever we must to keep our people safe. On that day, not only did the world change, but we all changed. Our eyes were opened to the depths of the evil we face. But in that hour of darkness, we also came together with renewed purpose. Our differences never looked so small. Our common bonds never felt so strong. The sacrifice grounds on which we stand today are a monument to our national unity and to our strength. For more than seven decades, the Pentagon has stood as a global symbol of American might, not only because of the great power contained within these halls, but because of the incredible character of the people who fill them. They secure our freedom. They defend our flag, and they support our courageous troops all around the world. Among the 184 brave Americans who perished on these grounds were young enlisted service members, dedicated civil servants who had worked here for decades, and veterans who served our nation in Korea, in Vietnam, and in the Middle East. All of them love this country and pledged their very lives to protect it. That September morning, each of those brave Americans died as they had lived, as heroes, doing their duty and protecting us and our country. We mourn them, we honor them, and we pledge to never, ever forget them. We also remember and cherish the lives of the beloved Americans who boarded Flight 77 at Dulles Airport that morning. Every one of them had a family, a story, and beautiful dreams. Each of them had people they loved and who loved them back. And they all left behind a deep emptiness that their warmth and grace once filled so fully and so beautifully. The living, breathing soul of America wept with grief for every life taken on that day. We shed our tears in their memory, pledged our devotion in their honor, and turned our sorrow into an unstoppable resolve to achieve justice in their name. The terrorists who attacked us thought they could incite fear and weaken our spirit. But America cannot be intimidated, and those who try will soon join the long list of vanquished enemies who dared to test our mettle. In the years after September 11th, more than 5 million young men and women have joined the ranks of our great military to defend our country against barbaric forces of evil and destruction. American forces are relentlessly pursuing and destroying the enemies, all civilized people, ensuring, and these are horrible, horrible enemies, enemies like we've never seen before. But we're ensuring that they never again have a safe haven to launch attacks against our country. We are making plain to these savage killers that there is no dark corner beyond our reach, no sanctuary beyond our grasp, and nowhere to hide anywhere on this very large earth. Since 9/11, nearly 7,000 service members have given their lives fighting terrorists around the globe. Some of them rest just beyond this fence, in the shrine to our nation's heroes, on the grounds of Arlington National Cemetery. They came from all backgrounds, all races, all faiths, but they were all there to dedicate their lives, and they defend our one great American flag. They and every person who puts on the uniform has the love and gratitude of our entire nation. Today, as we stand on this hallowed ground, we are reminded of the timeless truth that when America is united, no force on earth can break us apart. No force. On the morning of 9/11, Pentagon police officer Isaac Hoopel and a special person was one of the many heroes whose love for his fellow Americans knew no bounds. He was a mile away when he got the call over his radio that a plane had crashed into the Pentagon. He sped to the scene and raced into smoke and fire. Few people would have done it. He ducked under live electro wires and trudged through puddles of jet fuel, only steps away from sparks and from vicious flame. In the pitch black, he began calling out people in need of help. Isaac heard faint voices, and he wanted to answer those faint voices. One by one, he carried people out of the burning rubble. He kept going back into the smoldering darkness, calling out to anyone who could hear, anyone who was alive. He saved as many as 20 people who had followed his voice. He carried 8 himself. For nearly 36 hours, Isaac kept on saving lives, serving our nation, and protecting our safety in our honor and our hour of need. And today, Isaac continues to do exactly that. Isaac still works at the Pentagon, now as a sergeant. He's on duty right now, and he's joined us here today for the ceremony. And this morning, all of us and all of America thank Isaac for his service. Where is Isaac? Thank you. Thank you, Isaac. Thank you. To Isaac and to every first responder and survivor of the attack you carry on the legacy of the friends you lost, you keep alive the memory of those who perished, and you make America proud, very, very proud. To the family members with us today, I know that it's with a pained and heavy heart that you come back to this place. But by doing so, by choosing to persevere through the grief, the sorrow, you honor your heroes. You renew our courage, and you strengthen all of us. You really do. You strengthen all of us. Here on the west side of the Pentagon, terrorists tried to break our resolve. It's not going to happen. But where they left a mark, with fire and rubble, Americans defiantly raised the Stars and Stripes, our beautiful flag that for more than 2 centuries has graced our ships, flown in our skies, and led our brave heroes to victory after victory in battle. The flag that binds us all together as Americans, who cherish our values and protect our way of life. The flag that reminds us today of who we are, what we stand for, and why we fight. Woven into that beautiful flag is the story of our resolve. We have overcome every challenge, every single challenge, every one of them. We've triumphed over every evil and remained united as one nation under God. America does not bend. We do not waver, and we will never, ever yield. So here at this memorial, with hearts both sad and determined, we honor every hero who keeps us safe and free, and we pledge to work together, to fight together, and to overcome together every enemy and obstacle that's ever in our path. Our values will endure. Our people will thrive. Our nation will prevail, and the memory of our loved ones will never, ever die. Thank you. May God bless you. May God forever bless the great United States of America. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Such a powerful speech. It's so important to remember. I like the way he recognized the one hero that went through all the fuel and all the things that were taking place in rescue. And there's just so many heroes in America. We're seeing it right now with all the hurricanes and all. But just, we're about to go to break. Before we go to break, though, we want to be able to just kind of give you an overview of what took place as we're remembering 9/11 with the president. Take a look. Let's just take a moment right now and just a moment of prayer, remembering what happened in 9/11, and ask God to be with our country and to protect our country and be with the families that lost loved ones. Thousands were lost during this time. Father God, we just lift up the families that lost their loved ones during 9/11. We pray that you would comfort them and somehow meet their emotional needs of their loved one being gone. Lord, and we just ask you, Lord, to continue to give our president a wisdom and our leader's wisdom. God, I thank you that he took the time to bow his head before you and all the nations and seek you for help. Hear our cry, God, to protect our nation, Lord God. And we pray that you would just strengthen our borders, strengthen our Constitution, and strengthen your purposes over this nation, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Well, I have this offer for you. I just want to give it to you. I just want to send it to you, no cost at all. It is an amazing, amazing message about what is man that you are mindful of him. This will blow your mind, because so often we put God in a box. We think of him as small. Even if you think he's big, he's way bigger than that. And it makes you start thinking, who am I that you're mindful of me? And guess what? He loves you. So here's some details right here.
Offer 2040. What is man that you are mindful of him? This message will inspire and encourage you and take you to a deeper understanding of the awesomeness of God and His heart for you. The Earth is said to be spinning at 1,000 miles per hour. The Earth is orbiting the Sun at 483,000 miles per hour. In the middle of a galaxy of billions of stars, that is in a universe that is filled with an uncountable number of galaxies. Yet God, who created all of this, has you on his heart and mind. Discover the answer to the question, who am I that you are thinking about me and entrusting me with all you have created? We want to send you this offer for a free gift of any amount, or you can become a partner by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now, or you can write to us at VFNTV at 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534, or you can call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2040. What is man that you are mindful of him?
Well, we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Are American veterans having their rights restricted? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is about the rights of veterans that are in nursing homes. I was asked by the veterans there to come and pray with them and do a Bible study.
Did they stop your Bible study now?
Yes, they stopped me, and even the head chaplain called and said, we can't do this because what if there is one Arabic person? I said, this is not...
Well, let me tell you right now, that the chaplain's just absolutely incorrect. Bible studies can take place on military installations. They can take place in military hospitals. And it's not off limits. And we're going to get you in touch with our lawyers here at the ACLJ and get you some help.
Help the American Center for Law and Justice battle key issues that face your faith and family. Learn more about what you can do by visiting us online at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Hi, this is John Maxwell, and the word I'm going to talk about in a moment is from Carrie, and she's from Boise, Idaho. She's a training specialist, and the word is team. Probably for a leader, maybe this is the most important word that we ever embrace, because leaders can't do it by themselves. When I wrote the laws of teamwork, I talked about the law of significance, that one is too small of a number to achieve greatness. And the best leaders are not just looking for a group of people to support them and help them. They're looking for a team of leaders where they can collaborate together and think together and create together. Here's what I want you to know about team. And this is what I think is very important in your life, Carrie, and in my life. Team members should complete us, not compete with us. So build a team that complements one another, and you'll have a team that will make a difference.
You may be joining us today and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. And we try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent His Son so that you can have a relationship with Him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I am so excited about this story, man. I just love, don't you just love the businessman, the businesswoman,
yes,
and the young folks to get out there and begin their destiny by... You know, God says He blesses the work of your hands.
That's right.
Kind of a new concept, I think, for a lot of this generation.
Backbone of America.
Yeah.
They say the highest percentage of companies that are hiring and really putting America to work, it's not these mega companies. It's
right.
A small businessman, small businesswoman.
Well, I just heard a report just this week that the unemployment has dropped so low that now they have one particular county in Florida, I believe it was Santa Rosa or Okaloosa County, which is close to Pensacola, Florida, is down to like 4% unemployment, and now
that's
the employers
amazing.
Are having to raise the, to be able to get an employee, you got to pay them more.
Wow, that's
fantastic. They have 600 open job positions there they can't fill.
What a blessing.
By the way, if you want to come to Florida, you can work down.
Yeah, come to work.
But understand, that's just exciting. And this young man, he's 10 years old, John, his name's Frank, he goes by Frank FX, FX is a name his parents gave him. He writes the president, because he's seeing the lawn taking, he's got his own lawn business, you know, cutting grass.
So young entrepreneur.
10 years old.
All right.
And he writes the president a letter saying, you know, can I cut your grass? And it's
So he didn't ask if he can come play video games or he said, I'm in business.
He said he would even charge his own wee whacker. But here is Sarah Huckabee in a press conference reading this young man's letter, pointing him out. It's pretty powerful.
This is amazing.
Take a look.
As I mentioned last week, I want to take time to recognize people from around the country that write in and ask the president questions. And today I wanted to read you a special letter to the president from someone who embodies the enterprising and ambitious spirit of America. Frank from Falls Church, Virginia, wrote, "Dear Mr. President, it would be my honor to mow the White House lawn for some weekend for you. Even though I'm only 10, I'd like to show the nation what young people like me are ready for. I admire your business background and have started my own business. I've been mowing my neighbor's lawns for some time. Please see the attached flyer. Here's a list of what I have, and you're free to pick whatever you want, power mower, push mower, and weed whacker. I can bring extra fuel for the power mower and charge batteries for the weed whacker, and he'll do that with no charge. Sincerely, Frank." Frank, I'm happy to report back to you that I just spoke with the president. He wanted me to be sure and tell you that you're doing a great job and keep working hard. He also asked me, we found out when we called, to let you know that we would be reading this letter, to wish you a happy birthday. I think Frank went from 10 to 11 in the time that we received and were able to respond to this letter. And he also wanted me to invite you to spend a morning here at the White House with the groundskeeper. The groundskeeper, we've talked to them, and they'd love to show you how the U.S. Park Service maintains the 18 acres of the White House complex, and they'd love to give you the opportunity to cut the grass in the Rose Garden. It's our responsibility to keep the American dream alive for kids like Frank, immigrants who are already here, and those who dream of immigrating here in the future.
That's so powerful. I couldn't help notice, John, the Dow Jones went up to 22,000.
That's huge.
A lot of people understand when that thing goes up by points, you're talking trillions of dollars of value.
Yeah.
You're talking 401k, your retirement goes up in value and all those things. And so that's exciting. And so he even made it, Frank, he actually got an interview on Fox News. Here he is writing this one letter.
So he goes out and cuts the grass.
I haven't got to that yet. They actually talked to him about that because we're going to actually join him in a little bit on the White House lawn. But this is Frank on Fox News. It's so cool. Take a look.
It was an 11-year-old's dream come true when he got to cut the grass on the White House lawn.
This is Frank. He's going to be very famous. Going to be a Navy SEAL someday. Going to do great things for our country. Thank you, man. You take care of yourself, okay?
So adorable. Joining us now is Frank Giaccio. Frank, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Morning, buddy.
How exciting was that? We said it's a dream come true. Was it for you? Was it a dream come true to mow the lawn?
Yeah, it really was, especially when the president came over.
Yeah, what were you? So we all saw the video. You're cutting that straight line down the lawn, and then off to your side, up comes, you know, just the president of the United States. But, you know, Frank, you just kept mowing, you know? I mean, were you that focused on your mission?
Well, I knew that he was, like, so let me put it this way. I knew that he was very impressed, and I thought he wanted to be going with me, so I kept mowing, but he gave me a couple comments. So it was actually pretty cool when he came up.
What did he say to you when he came up to you?
He said, great job, keep going. Yeah. So
wow, that's pretty cool. Special. I mean, what does that mean to you? I mean, are you someone that has followed President Trump and his campaign? I mean, how special was it for you to be there and for him to come talk to you?
It was really, really, really cool.
Cool. I can imagine. Frank the Tank, I'm going to call you. Let's talk about your business. You're a businessman. That's why you identify with President Trump, and you got a pretty good thing going there.
That's so powerful. He started on his business. He does the yard for $8. I think we're being overcharged.
Wait a minute. You need to talk to your lawn guy.
He does his 2.5 yards. 2.5 yards. So the half is for people who sometime call.
Yeah. You know, this is so amazing on so many levels. Mm-hmm. One, I love to see the White House being restored back to the people's house, because this is what's supposed to be, you know?
Yeah.
And people giving back. And this young boy is, you know, doing the example.
Yeah.
But I love about the opportunity, again, that the president is underscoring about Americans having the chance to launch out with that entrepreneurial spirit and get in business.
This president has brought in the lowest unemployment like in 17 years.
Yeah.
This many people's getting jobs. And he says in his letter, I believe it was, I want to show people, the young people, that you can work and start your own business. As a matter of fact, we're going to get to go join him now as he's at the White House. He got a chance to get behind the press podium, the same place that Sarah Huckabee was at. As a matter of fact, let's go there now.
Hello, my name is FX, and I just mowed the Rose Garden.
Oh.
10, well, now he's 11.
11 years old.
He got to stand behind the same press podium that Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee got to mention his letter, and then he got to go stand by the press. I mean, it's amazing.
What has Frank started? Can you imagine all 11-year-olds writing letters now?
Right. Yes, write the president.
Right? He wants to hear.
I mean, he is for, you know, you succeeding. That's what he's for, yeah. Our country succeeding. Listen, we get back from this break. We're going to go look at DACA. And DACA, you're hearing quite a bit in the news right now. It's called Defending Actions of Children, Childhood Arrival. And what it is people came to the United States with their parents when they were younger. And now the issue is up, what are we going to do with the people who came in illegally, who had children? Well, Senator Rand Paul brought something up about that. So we're going to find out what is DACA, and we're also going to find out what Senator Rand Paul says about it. And it seems kind of...
Seems pretty good.
To make sure that they can... It's good. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Operation Blessing continues our responses throughout Texas and throughout Florida. But right now, our focus is also Hurricane Irma in the state of Florida. We've been in 10 cities here. Right now, I'm coming to you from Naples, Florida. This church we're partnering with is Destiny Church with Pastor Greg. And so they're going to be focusing on Bonita Springs, where on day 5, there are still homes that are flooded, standing water. People can't get into their homes. They're going to be focused on Golden Gate, another area. Both of these areas are the middle class, the working poor. So this church will be God's hands extended, sharing the love of Jesus in very tangible ways. As grocery stores are still shut down. There's widespread power outages, cell phone signals are shoddy, and literally gas stations are running completely out of gas. People are still suffering, and so Operation Blessing is here. We're sharing the love of God, the love of Jesus, in very tangible ways. We're giving out food and water to the poor, to the people that don't have the resources to help themselves. If you'd like to come and join our efforts, our greatest need is volunteers, especially in Texas. So if you're watching this and you'd like to join our efforts in Texas, please go to operationblessing.org, click on volunteers. Operation Blessing will take care of free lodging, meals, your work assignments. All we ask you to provide is your transportation to Texas and to and from the job site. Because one thing's for sure is we need help helping these precious residents recover.
Listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFN TV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We had people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. DACA. Yeah, D-A-C. You're hearing that continually, and you know everybody's hoping that they just kind of put a narrative of what it means. We want to talk about that today because
we're going to help you out with that.
Yeah, because you had the president's meeting, you know, bipartisan meeting with a couple of leaders, and of course Nancy Pelosi's having issues now in her home because she's trying to do something to take care of these kids of the parents that came over. But the question is, what is DACA? Let's take a look at this first before we find out what Senator Rand Paul has a possible solution for it, staying within our laws. Take a look.
For 5 years, nearly 800,000 undocumented young people have been able to live in the U.S. without constant fear of deportation. That's all thanks to DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. It was started by President Barack Obama in 2012. It allows young immigrants who came to the U.S. illegally as children to apply for a renewable 2-year visa. That allows them to work legally in the U.S. and saves them from deportation. So, who qualifies? Those who have been in the U.S. since 2007 and came before they turned 16, and those who were under the age of 31 before June 15, 2012, when DACA went into effect. Applicants must be in school, have a high school diploma, or be a military veteran, and they must have a mostly clean criminal record. It's important to note, the status doesn't put participants on a path to legal permanent residency or citizenship, but it does mean these immigrants can get things like driver's licenses, credit cards, and open bank accounts. A recent survey found that after being approved for DACA, 5% of recipients started their own businesses, and 16% bought a home for the first time. Some critics say DACA is unconstitutional because Obama introduced it by executive action and without congressional approval. They also argue that DACA promotes future illegal immigration because it signals that if you come here illegally, there are ways to be able to stay.
So that's a good explanation. You know, we're talking about DACA right now. And so you think about it, you know, coming from a Christian perspective, we really got to think this thing through. We can't just automatically just like, that's mine, that's not yours. Because you know, Jesus talks about sharing and about, you know, being kind and being kind to the stranger.
To our neighbor.
To our neighbor and that type of thing. But he also talks about being legal. And there's one thing about what our current president was saying is, that you know, if you're here and you're, first of all, you're illegal. If you're illegal, it's
illegal for
undocumented
a reason.
Is another definition of the word illegal.
Right.
But if you're here and you're committing crimes, that's what he's talking about.
You know, gotta go.
You've got to go. But what do you do with the children who are not committing crimes, that type of thing? And this is DACA. Well, Senator Rand Paul offered us a constitutional answer to make sure everyone of these now adults, but they were children when they came over, they get to stay and become a citizen of America, but it does it constitutionally. As a matter of fact, let's join Senator Rand Paul as he's talking about a solution for the DACA issue.
So DACA, I think most of the courts, there's been several court cases and they've all agreed that it's unconstitutional. He created law. Now, that has nothing to do with the argument of whether they should have it or not. I'm actually somewhat sympathetic to the kids who have been here for most of their lives. But I'm also sympathetic to the idea you can't have no rules. I mean, you just can't. I'm sympathetic to Milton Friedman's point when he said you can't have open borders in a welfare state. We got a lot of free stuff in our country. Free health care no matter what. Free education no matter what. Up through 12 grades. That's just a big expense. You just can't have the whole world come. There was a survey by Pew one time. I think it was Pew or Gallup. And they surveyed the world and then they extrapolated. And they said 700 million people would come here if they could. So we've got to have some rules. Now, with the DACA kids, what I proposed is the compromise is they're here, they're illegal, and you want to make them legal. We accept about 1 million people a year through green cards who then go to get on the track to become citizens. Make the DACA kids part of the 1 million. Now, there's 1 million of them, so they would take up a whole year's worth of immigration. So let's say you wanted to not be take up all the slots. Let's say we divide them into segments of 200,000. We admit them over 5 years. We internally immigrate them over 5 years, but they count against the numbers. So for the people on the right, we say we're not expanding immigration. We're not necessarily rewarding. We're not going to take 1.2 million next year. We're going to take 1 million and 200,000 slots of the people who've lived here 15, 20 years. And then I think that to me would be the reasonable compromise. I don't think that's what I'm promoting. I don't think we'll get that. I think what we'll get is you'll do DACA and it'll pass, and then they'll throw a bunch of money at a wall or some security stuff. And in the end, the last comprehensive bill, one of the reasons I opposed it is they actually had too much money for border security. They just threw billions and billions and billions trying to get conservatives on board with the immigration reform. With immigration in general, most immigrants are an asset to our country. Most of them are good people. Most of them are hardworking people and should be looked at that way.
That's a constitutional answer. By the way, when you hear somebody say constitutional, they're saying we can do something within the law. You know, that our perimeters that we have versus unconstitutional, which is how that thing began. You remember we talked about in the program where people were flooding over our borders. You know, we'll have to get this other particular topic, you know, next time. But we want to talk about that. You remember the Border Patrol officer that was on the border and some truck drivers coming in from Mexico to America. And the truck driver says, "Do you want to see my papers?" And remember what he said? Yeah. What does it matter anyway, right? What's the point? And we went 8 years like that, you know, a large part of that 8 years like that under the previous administration.
Well, the important thing to think about that, too, is not only did we get, like, you know, Rand Paul said, the senator from Kentucky, that you're going to get some good people that are wanting to do better for their family. But at the same time, we had a lot of bad people that were coming from other countries wanting to do us harm, and they're still here. You know, and Kamal Saleem told us.
Hey, 300,000, 100,000, something like that. Radical jihadist terrorists, 450,000 radical jihadist terrorists is what Kamal Saleem
said. And this was
Saleem
seven years ago.
Qum Ministries, you know, and it's not everybody, but it's that. The thing about it is, it just come over legally, go through the process, because at some point we got to say, we got to let some of the American citizens out of jail, because they're in jail for what other people.
Not only come here legally, because if you come here illegally, you're open to be abused.
Yeah, that's happening.
You know, it's happening all over the place. You're being taken advantage of, and no one should take advantage of you.
And some of the things that are happening, some of the reports that are out, that that some of the same people from that nation who are over here illegally, they transport some of their own previous citizens from their country over here illegally, and then they put them into trafficking, and they actually oppress them, enslave them.
That's horrible.
Their own folks.
Their own people.
And it's important. If you do it legally, they can't do that to them.
Right.
Because they're protected. They're protected. They can't call the police if they actually broke the law.
That's right.
That's why they don't call the police. And the people know that that also broke the law, and so they're taking advantage of them. When they become an American citizen, they have all the rights of a citizen, and so they could call the police, and those people who are imprisoning them, putting them in sex trafficking, mm-hmm. and all this drug business that's going on, they can call the police, and they'll come and take them to jail.
Working them long hours and paying them very, very little, below minimum wage.
Yes.
That's horrible.
It really is. There's more slaves today than there ever been at this one moment than there's ever been, if you add up all the slaves that ever happened in the history of the world. But you don't hear anybody talking about present slavery. You hear them talking about historical slavery, where people right now, I know we got to go, but down in Mexico, for example, Glenn Beck just got back, and there was a lady that was chained, on chains, John, in a laundromat downstairs, ironing clothes for years, and beat with a broomstick by this lady owner that owned that business. And she, you know, she got free. They got free from that situation. But that's happening as we speak. And it's like, when you come in legally, you're protected. The whole Constitution's behind you. The government's behind you. It's your government. It's your country when you come in legally. And it's an exciting thing to become an American citizen. We actually did a test. We went through the citizenship test, and we were challenged in some of it.
Oh, yes.
And we'll actually make that available to you on the VFN Torch. We want to pray right now. We want to pray for you and just pray for our borders, and just want to pray a blessing on you. Father God, I thank you, God, for this time we had together, Father God, with him and her that's listening right now. We appreciate you joining us, and I just pray a blessing over you. I want to pray encouragement. If you're a young person right now and you're thinking about your own business, let's pray that God would give you wisdom to start your own business and your own company. And if you're a person that needs your grass cut, you'll think twice. I need to hire Frank to come to my house and I want to be able to help him build his future, God. And we thank you for our president. We thank you, Lord, for those that stood up and remembering what happened 16 years ago at 9/11. May we never forget, Lord, keep it from happening again, God. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you would end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV. Or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.